Chapter 16. The Last Piece of Evidence. That evening, William came to collect Susan. He was taking her to see a film. While they were driving to the cinema, Susan turned to him.
"William, we need your help," she said nervously,
and then she started to explain exactly what she wanted him to do. William stopped the car suddenly.
"You're really crazy this time," he shouted.
"We can't think of any other way," said Susan.
"You're a lawyer. Don't you know what Frankie could do?" William asked angrily. "First of all, I'd lose my job. And then Frankie, who seems to have influence in the government, would take us to court. Sorry, Susan, you and Jack will have to think of something else."
The next morning, Jack decided that he'd go and visit Sydney again.
"He hates Frankie as much as we do," he told Susan. "Maybe he can think of a way to help us. It's definitely worth a try."
Sydney was more than happy to help Jack.
"Frankie's a diabetic," he said. "He has to inject himself with insulin twice a day. If you can find a needle that he's used, then you'll have all the evidence you need." "I don't know where Frankie lives these days. You'll have to find out." "You've been a great help," Jack told Sydney. "Thanks."
On his way home, Jack decided that he would go to Frankie's house later that night. When Jack arrived home, he looked for Frankie's address in the telephone book. Of course, it was listed as Lawrence Forrester and not Frankie Lewis. He phoned Susan to tell her about his plan to go to Frankie's house and search his rubbish bin for a used insulin needle. Susan didn't like the idea, but this was the only plan that might work.
Late that evening, Jack went to Frankie's house. In the back garden, he saw the rubbish bin. He put on a pair of gloves and began to search the rubbish. It didn't take long for him to find what he was looking for. Near the top of the pile of rubbish, he saw a used needle. He took a bag from his pocket and put the needle in it. Then, in the moonlight, he saw something else. A broken wine glass with some blood on it. As Jack reached for the wine glass, he disturbed a cat that was looking for food in the rubbish bin. The cat made a loud meow and jumped onto Jack's arm, scratching it till it bled.
"Get off me!"
cried Jack, the blood running down his arm. It was very painful, but Jack tried hard not to shout out. The last thing he wanted was for Frankie to hear him. The cat jumped on Jack and scratched his face. As Jack was trying to push the cat off him, he fell and the rubbish bin fell with him. The cat ran away just as the back door of Frankie's house opened. Somebody came out and ran in the direction of the noise. Jack lay still on the ground behind the rubbish bin, almost too frightened to breathe.
"Who's out there?"
a voice shouted, getting closer and closer to where Jack was hiding. Jack had to think fast. He pushed the rubbish bin hard and it rolled towards the person.
"What the crash?"
The person fell, his arms and legs in the air. Jack didn't wait to see who it was. He jumped up and ran away as fast as he could, stopping only once to make sure he wasn't being followed.
"That stupid cat," thought Jack. "It's a pity I didn't manage to get the wine glass, but at least I've got the insulin needle."
Happy with his discovery and the fact that he'd escaped without being caught, Jack made his way home. Susan had decided not to go to bed until Jack came home. When she heard his key in the door, she ran to meet him.
"Well, did you find anything?" asked Susan, worried. "And what's happened to your face?"
"It's nothing. A cat scratched me," Jack replied and showed her the bag containing the needle.
"I'll give this bag to William," said Susan. "I'm sure he won't lose his job if he asks a forensic expert to examine these."
The next morning, before Susan left for work, she phoned William and told him about the needle.
"Bring it to the police station," said William. "I'll take it to the forensic department as soon as I can."
Susan stopped at the police station on her way to work and gave William the evidence that Jack had found.
"I suppose you'll want to know the results as soon as possible, so I'll take them to Dr. Robinson immediately," William told her.
Within a couple of hours, Dr. Robinson gave William the results. The blood on the needle was the same blood type as the blood on the knife. This was the evidence that Jack and Susan had been waiting for. As Susan was a lawyer, she found it quite easy to get Bob Marsh's case reopened. With the new evidence that Jack and Susan had given them, two policemen were sent to Frankie's house to arrest him. Of course, Frankie, or Lawrence Forrester, as he was now called, insisted that they had the wrong man. When the police questioned him, he said he'd heard from somebody that it was Monty who had murdered Bob. Monty was the one they should arrest, not him.
"I was with my brother Sidney that day," he lied. "We were watching the race on TV. You can ask him. He'll tell you."
Frankie thought he'd be able to convince Sidney to lie for him before the policeman got to him. But the policeman arrested Frankie, and Sidney was more than happy to tell them that Frankie was lying. The policeman went to Monty's house and immediately arrested him too. Not long after that, there was a trial. At the trial, Monty told the court how they had tried to get Bob to sabotage the favourite's bike, and what had happened when he refused.
"It was all Frankie's idea," Monty said. "He told me what to do."
It didn't take the court long to decide that Frankie and Monty had murdered Bob.
"A man's life is worth more than money," said the judge. "What you've done is unforgivable, and you will be sent to prison for a very long time."
A few days later, Susan and Jack received a letter from the manager of the racing circuit telling them that the next race would take place in honour of Bob.
"It won't bring Dad back," said Jack, "but at least he can now rest in peace."
"Yes," Susan sighed. "He can."